Growing up as the only Jew in my class in Iowa, I got lots of practice telling the story of Hanukkah. The story of the oil that was only enough for one night, but which miraculously lasted for eight, as I learned it and retold it every December in a classroom full of Christmas decorations, is the most familiar in all of American Judaism. In recent years, this telling of the tale is often criticized. The earliest depictions we have of Hanukkah in 1st and 2nd Maccabees, composed within a century of the Maccabean Revolt, focus on a military victory. A miracle on the battlefield is also the focus of our liturgical texts about Hanukkah. Both the Al Hanisim insertion for the Amidah and the Haneros Halalu recitation after candlelighting are fundamentally about the wars that you performed for our ancestors in those days at this time. By contrast, the Talmudic story mostly, though to be sure not entirely, ignores the military context to focus on a miracle taking place in the ritual realm. This story appears for the first time in the Babylonian Talmud, composed hundreds of miles and an empire away. The miracle of the oil, then, appears to be a classic case of clerical authors taking a historical event and reframing it to serve their religious ends. What had once been about war is now entirely transformed to be about spiritual and ritual life. Warriors have been replaced by priests. This understanding, however, confuses historicity for truth. Because irrespective of whether the story of the cruise of oil conveys the original reason for Hanukkah, it turns out to be a faithful representation of the holiday's core message. Rather than being made up out of whole cloth, the story received by so many Jewish children for so many generations is one manifestation of a theme found in both the earliest stories of the military victory, as well as in a much earlier rabbinic story about the significance of ritual dedication. Compare the well-known Hanukkah story to this more obscure midrash about the construction of the biblical tabernacle in the wilderness. Then Moshe took the anointing oil, Leviticus 8:10. Rabbi Yehuda says, the anointing oil that Moshe made in the wilderness, miracles occurred with it from its beginning until its end. From its beginning, there was only 12 log worth, as it says, a hin of olive oil. If it were only to anoint the planks, it would not be enough. Some the fire consumes, some the planks absorb, some the pot absorbs. And yet, Aaron and his sons were anointed from it all 7 days of the dedication. High priests and kings were anointed with it, and even a high priest who is son of a high priest requires anointing, and all of it remains for the future to come. As it says, this shall be for me holy anointing oil for all of your generations. This early midrash shares three important elements with the origin story of Hanukkah in the Bavli. At the most basic level, it is a miraculous story told about oil. And like the story of Hanukkah in the Babylonian Talmud, here too, the miracle that this midrash depicts occurs in response to the dedication of a sacred space. Most importantly, as is the case in the Talmud's Hanukkah tale, here too, we have a miracle specifically about a small amount of oil that overperforms. As the Talmud puts it, a miracle was wrought with it, and they lit from it for 8 days. Both the Talmudic ideology for Hanukkah and the Midrash about the tabernacle tell stories about containers of oil that refuse to run out. In the Midrash, the oil, despite its absorption into the various vessels to which it must be applied, continues to serve to anoint the high priests and his sons, and in fact remains to be used for the future to come. While in the Babylonian Hanukkah story, despite its burning on the first night, sufficient oil remains to light the candelabrum on the second night, and then again on the third, and so on and so on. Though it's a new story in late antique Babylonia, the miracle of the oil has ancient roots, sharing with the much earlier Midrash a focus on the miracles that inhere when we build sacred space together. In so doing, it ties the Hasmonean rededication of the temple to earlier dedications. It thereby extols the Maccabees, equating their actions with those of biblical heroes such as Aaron and Moshe. Both of these dedication stories are, in turn, perfect complements to the earliest versions of the Hanukkah story, including those told in sources such as 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Because fundamentally, the Talmud story and the Midrash on which it is based is a tale of overperforming, of oil that was supposed to be sufficient to last for only one night's lighting, but which miraculously met the needs of the time. The military tale preserved in 1st and 2nd Maccabees tells a similar story, the historicity of which is, of course, absolutely irrelevant. A small, overmatched band of rebels overperforms to meet the needs of their time, standing up to a military force of far superior ability and means. In this sense, the story of Hanukkah truly remains constant across the generations. Whether manifest through oil that miraculously refuses to run out, or overmatched rebels resisting imperial authority, Hanukkah commemorates and inspires both the ability and the desire to do more than is expected. Perhaps that's why, though the Talmud and later codes say that the core obligation of Hanukkah candle lighting is to light only one candle per night, and that only the exceptionally pious light one candle on the first night and increase by another each consecutive evening, the latter has become standard practice. How many people who would not normally call themselves exceptionally pious nonetheless undertake the Hanukkah lighting in accordance with the strictest standard? But that's the whole point of the holiday. Whether your preferred telling of the story focuses on overmatched troops miraculously bringing down a world power, or oil lasting 7 more nights than it should have, the story is the same. You can do more than you think you can. Chag Sameach.